Jimmy, as we're joined by a longtime friend of the program.
Well, that's Mike DeCourcy. Mike is a senior college basketball writer for the Sporting News, does a terrific job with them, has done it for many, many years. Mike, how are you?
I am well, Jimmy. John, how are you guys?
Doing well, thank
Fantastic.
You.
Fantastic. Mike, I want to ask you about Tennessee. So the more I watch them, the more flaws I seem to pick up with this team, but maybe I'm too close to it. What do you think of the Tennessee basketball team right now?
Well, you know, I think they defend really well, and that's a good place for any team to start. When you can defend, you can stay in games, you can be competitive. You're talking about right now the number two defensive team in the country based on the KenPom's per-possession stats. That's a great foundation to build from. I think that offensively they're kind of a puzzle because when a year ago I think I've talked to you guys several times and presented my misgivings about Santiago Vescovi as a high major SEC level point guard. I didn't think he was not that level of player, but as a point guard I thought he was deficient. And you're seeing now that he's playing more off the ball, he's having a very good season, and Kennedy Chandler is terrific. He's a great talent and doing good things, but there just doesn't seem to be that that dynamic scorer to bring it to another level. You know, obviously Josiah Jordan James struggling with his shot. I mean, he started as a 36% three-point shooter as a freshman, and it's gone down from there. And the rest of the team, it just, you know, where else would you look for that guy who's going to get you 15 a night? They really don't seem to have that player, and that's where you get into trouble against the very best teams in the biggest games.
Looking at Kentucky, Oscar Tshiebwe, the transfer from West Virginia, is averaging about 15 rebounds a game. He set a Rupp Arena record with 28 rebounds a game. Are you surprised, maybe even shocked, at what a rebounding machine this guy's been for Kentucky so far?
Not necessarily that. I'm more shocked at how mobile he's been, how they've been able to use him in a variety of different ways defensively and offensively. When I saw him at West Virginia, he kind of looked like a statue to me. He didn't move much from the rim. He just, you know, he stayed in that spot. He blocked shots. He rebounded at both ends, but he didn't move much. And I don't know whether he's just gotten in better shape over the course of the year he didn't play, or whether it just was he wasn't ready to be deployed in a different way. Sometimes, you know, athletes, they don't look like they're quick because they don't know where to go. If you don't know where you're going, you can't get there quickly. And so maybe it was that, I don't know, but his dynamism, not just up and down off the floor, but his ability to cover ground, to change ends, all of that has been overwhelmingly effective for him and to me constitutes the biggest surprise about what he's been for the Wildcats.
Mike, with the Southeastern Conference, you go back to the preseason conversations and you had Kentucky as the preseason pick to win it. You had Alabama, which was thought to be a team capable of getting to a Final Four. Talk about Arkansas, Tennessee, and right there at the end of a top five, it would have been Auburn. Flash forward to this point in the season, the Tigers are a top five team on the Plains. How good is Bruce Pearl's club?
They're legitimately great. And one of the interesting things about this season, you mentioned all those terrific teams that are in the SEC, right?
Mm-hmm.
The Tigers don't play a lot. You know, they don't play them a lot of them twice, let's say. You know, it's a pretty, you know, based on what's available in this league to play, they have a pretty easy schedule the rest of the way. You know, they still have to come to Knoxville, I get that, and they still have to play a game against Kentucky, but that's at home. But there's a lot of Ole Miss and Georgia and Mizzou on their schedule. And, you know, in Arkansas and Vandy, and there's not a lot of, you know, they don't have a repeat game with LSU. They only have the one with the Vols. It's a pretty blessed schedule for the Tigers. And I think it's going to make it very difficult for anybody else to win the league as a result of that.
Arkansas was able to get in the win column for the first time in SEC play as it did a number on Missouri, ending a stretch where I think they dropped 6 of 7. What do you think has been the problem for the Razorbacks this year compared to what had been such steps forward that they had taken under Coach Musselman?
Well, I think the first thing that happens, when you recruit a freshman player like Moses Moody, I think he was 30th in his class or something like that, and you're thinking to yourself, okay, he's a terrific talent. You don't get to 30th or whatever it was in your class without being that. But you think that at the very minimum, you've got a guy like that for 2 years. And that's only if everything goes exactly right, a player who's recruited around that level. And so you at least know you've got that guy for 2 years. Well, then he comes out and he just rules. And now he's a pro. He's a one and done lottery pick guy. And that's a hard hole to fill. So that's the first element. I mean, the second element, I think, is that in gathering their roster, I don't think they put together a roster that's effective playing the way they want to play. I mean, they're a lot of small guys. Guys who don't have the kind of length that makes those kinds of that kind of pressure effective, that can get into passing lanes with their length. That JD Notae is only 6'1", 6'2". Chris Likes is 5'7". Guys, I'm 5'7". And he's a lot more dynamic than me. But it's not the same as somebody who's 6'5" like Moody and getting into passing lanes. So I think that for that reason, things haven't quite worked right. And offensively, Notae's having a great year, but it's pretty balanced the rest from the other guys. So they don't struggle to score, but they don't have an overwhelming offense in the way that they often did a year ago.
I guess Mike DeCourcy of the Sporting News. I want to go back to Kentucky, and that's Tennessee's next opponent. We talked about Oscar Tshiebwe. What else do you like about this Kentucky team?
Well, I the first thing I like is when they have Xavier Wheeler. And I don't know what his status. They're hopeful for him to play against Tennessee. But mm-hmm. You saw, if you watched the LSU game, what a huge absence he was. Yes. And Ty Washington has played well. He's played well since. But you don't want to have to rely on him exclusively as your playmaker, because that takes him away a little bit as a scorer, and they don't really have, other than him, somebody who can create his own shot from the perimeter, from the wing. He's not the prototype guy that you'd like to have in that role. You'd like to have somebody 6'5", 6'6", be that guy who breaks down the defense and gets into traffic and gets fouled and all that stuff. But he's good enough that you're certainly happy he's on your team. But with him playing the point, and he's done it really well, and it's been great for his pro prospects to show the NBA what he is with the ball in his hands, it does take away from their attack, because the rest of their guys are either bigs or like Kellen Grady or Davion Mintz. They're basically catch and shoot guys. So you need somebody that can tear open a defense. And when they have Wheeler and they have Ty Washington playing together, they can actually have two guys that can do that.
I want to go back to Auburn for just a minute. They have three transfers that have made an impact. Katie Johnson from Georgia. They got Walker Kessler from North Carolina and Wendell Green from Eastern Kentucky. Green's averaging over 13 points a game. Has he been the biggest surprise out of the transfers into the Auburn program?
It's funny. Michigan is really struggling this year. They're 7-6 right now, I think. And they were heavily reliant on transfers. And a year ago, they took a kid from Columbia, which isn't a good Ivy League program, and made him their starting point guard. And he was terrific. Mike Smith on a team that won the Big Ten regular season and went to the Elite Eight. He was great. And because that was so successful, everybody expected, oh, well, this group they're bringing in from mid and low majors, they'll be just as good, right? And hasn't worked. But with Wendell Green, he's been ridiculous. I mean, the game he played against Alabama on Tuesday was absurd. I mean, he's making 25, 28 footers. He's cutting into the defense. To imagine this guy playing in the OVC is really, one thinks that you know, he'd put up the kind of numbers that that were put up at Murray State a few years ago by Ja Morant. I mean, Wendell Green is every bit an SEC talent, and he is honestly right now. Jabari Smith is ridiculously good, but Wendell Green's the reason they have a chance to win it all. I mean, you don't win it without a Jabari. But if you didn't have somebody as special as Green is in the backcourt, I'm not sure they'd have the right mix to do it.
So just a bit of a change here in the topic of conversation. Need to know, Mike, how nervous were you that a tie between the Raiders and Chargers was going to keep your Steelers out of the playoffs?
That was the most excruciating day of football in history. and here's kind of what's funny about it. So I watched the Steelers game. I didn't have Big Ten Network. We didn't have any games on our air for which we were doing halftime until like 5 o'clock or 6 o'clock Eastern. So well after Steelers Ravens ended. So I watched that game and I didn't take anything for granted because I knew that was a possibility. So when the Chargers and Raiders started, it was on in the green room. We had it on, but I wasn't paying very much attention because I didn't care who won. I just cared if somebody won. Mm-hmm. And then we had a post-game show and Big Ten Basketball and Beyond. So we were in the studio for about 2 hours without the football game on. And I have my phone with the app because I use it for stats and stuff. And I'm like, nope, not checking. I'm not checking this until with the game, you know, until we're done with TB. And then with one segment left in the hour-long Beyond show, I said, okay, I think I'm all right to look at it now. And it was 29-15. And I'm like, they're in. I mean, how could one team never scores 29 points? How could you have two? So they're fine. And then the next thing I know, it's 29-29. So that's when – and when the Raiders started running the ball at the 50-yard line, mm-hmm. I mean, my stomach almost just fell out of my body, you know, because it was like, oh, my God, they're really going to do this. It all worked out, but it was truly excruciating.
Mike is a fantastic follow if you want the latest in opinions and his reporting on college basketball, but he also shares his thoughts and views on a number of other things, whether it be music, which you and I walk a very similar path when it comes to our musical preferences, but when it comes to the opinions that you share on any wide variety of topics, was the reaction to your thoughts on Monday's national anthem singer stronger than what you normally get for all the great work that you've done over the years for the Sporting News?
I got a lot. I probably got ratioed in the end, but I had a lot of support too. I had one woman say, I'm a professional singer and you're exactly right. And I was really proud of that. I held on to that tweet because, the fact that she said that, you know, I just thought that, look, I don't mind putting a little twist into it here and there to show that you really got a voice. I get that. But like she was doing it for the whole 2.5 minutes. Come mm-hmm. on, man. Just sing the song. You know, we know you're talented, but you don't have to. Like she did probably like 13 cartwheels in the course of that song, and it only runs 2.5 minutes.
Yes. Maybe she took the over, if that indeed was a thing.
There you go.
Hey, Mike, thank you so much for visiting with us. We always appreciate it, and look forward to having you join us again a little bit later during the basketball season.
Jimmy and John, it's always a pleasure, my honor to talk to you guys. You do a great job.
Thank you so much.
And go Steelers. Thanks, Mike. Mike DeCourcy, senior college basketball writer for The Sporting News.
Joining us on the Stanley Fencing and Gates Hotline.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL Fan Festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draftaccess to register for free entry today.